For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
To us, let's open in prayer as we come around the Word of God. The Lord is good. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for opening our hearts to the truth. We thank you that we walk in the truth. We walk in the light. And Father, we ask that this morning that light would enter into us, the light of your word, as we look at it, as we hear it, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I'm looking at, let the God of our salvation be exalted. Let the God of our salvation be exalted. And I want to start off with Hebrews chapter 11, verses 6 and 7. Hebrews 11, 6 and 7. We must understand that as we walk by faith, we cannot be feelings oriented, we cannot be sight oriented, we cannot be circumstance oriented. If we are like that, then it becomes very easy for the enemy of our faith, the enemy, to undermine us, and not only us, but our circumstances around us, and even those we care for can be undermined if we do not walk in faith. But certainly in the church, it should be preached that the walk of faith is the right walk of walking in the truth. Looking at Hebrews 11, starting verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is," what's that word? "Impossible to please him," to please God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, the Bible tells us that the devils also believe in God. So it's not sufficient just to believe that God exists. Nevertheless, you do have to believe that he exists, that he is what he says he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there's that other component of faith, isn't there? So without faith, it's impossible to please him, which means that faith is very, very important to God. Very, very important to God. Verse 7 goes into a particular example, and it says, "By faith Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet," notice those words, "not seen as yet," "moved with fear," that's the fear of the Lord, "moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." So you can imagine Noah surrounded by, the Bible tells us that the world at that stage was filled with violence and was very anti-God. So you can imagine that Noah must have felt that everything was against him. Okay, he would have been ridiculed. He would have been laughed at. People would have spoken against him, and perhaps even acted against him. Nevertheless, by faith, Noah moved. Notice that word "moved" there. By faith, Noah, on the basis of what God had told him, because it says warned of God, of things not yet seen. Okay, so it wasn't yet manifest in the natural. And what hadn't they seen? Well, they certainly hadn't seen a worldwide flood. At that time, they may not have seen rain, and certainly not in the deluge that was at the time of Noah. Nevertheless, he was moved with fear. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to have confidence in the Lord and his word and his way, to make sure that what you do is based on what God has promised, what God has said. And he was moved and he prepared. He prepared an ark. So there is a preparation. You know, if we say, "I'm walking by faith," when we know that we say that in this church, then there has to be a preparation for what we're believing for. Okay? If we're saying we believe that this church is going to be filled with faithful people and this church is going to grow enormously, and yet we did nothing to do for the preparation of that, we would be negligent. But you see, we have been preparing for that, and quite diligently preparing for that increase. Praise the Lord. And you would know that if you have been listening and observing. So we see that we can't be moved by what we see or don't see. You can't be moved by circumstances. If Noah had been moved, he would have said, well, everyone around me is against me, against my ideas, against the way I'm going. And he would have been moved not by the Lord or by fear of the Lord. He would have been moved by other things. And the problem with looking and having a sight type basis is that the devil works in the natural. And he's able, and he's a great skillful manipulator and deceiver. The Bible's very clear about that. In fact, the Bible says he deceiveth the whole world. The whole world. Well, you have to be good at deception to be able to do that. Would that be right? Yes, indeed. But the Lord is the answer, and what Satan is unable to come against are the people of faith. The people of faith are people that are overcomers, that are more than conquerors, that see the word of God as the final authority, and that take that, and they understand that without faith it's impossible to please the Lord. So we must be people of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight, and we make sure that we are preparing for what we're believing for. Glory to God. Preparing. So people of faith must not draw back. We've talked about this. We've looked at this. The Lord has given us the ability in him to go forward. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, we won't turn to him, but Jesus promised that he would always be with us, even to the end of the world. So Jesus is always with us. He is our Lord, he's our Saviour, and he's always with us. Okay? So he gives the word to us, which we are to believe. And by believing it, we act on it as well. God gives us the enabling, the grace needed, not in our own strength. Okay? Not in our own strength. It's many that rely on their own strength, their own ability, but that's not what God wants us to do. He has given us everything we have, and we're to take that and to work with that. You know the parable of the talents. You can't bury it. You can't bury what God has given you. If you do that, God will take that away and give it to those who have been using what God has given them. So understand that God gives the enabling. Everything you have, the abilities you have, the strength you have, God has given it to you already. God promises that he'll always be with us, so he's there helping us. You know, we've looked at the fact that God is our helper. God is our help, praise the Lord. So we act on the word in faith. You know, if we were to look at our society now, we would think it's more and more getting anti-God, and all types of things are happening to push God out of the public sphere, the public arena, and to replace the Lord. You know, we see our education system pumping forth anti-God doctrines such as evolution, etc. We could easily despair at that. We could say, is there no one believing the word? You know, and then we see things like churches compromising with the world and so on, even though God says, be not conformed to the world. Have a look at Psalm 18, verses 43 to 49. You see, what we have to do is exalt the God of our salvation. See, salvation is the answer to all of this. We exalt not the problem, not the circumstance, not the barrier, not the mountain, not the thing that is in the way. We exalt the Lord, the God of our salvation. And we're looking at Psalm 18, starting from verse 43. Psalm 18, verse 43. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. See, God wants his people to come into a position of victory, even amongst the heathen. Now that sounds unusual, it sounds strange, but God is clear that he wants his people to be above and not beneath, okay? To be the head and not the tail. Can you see what I'm saying? If you understand this, then you will see that God has strategic appointments and places that he puts people in. He has things for us that we may not yet know about, but he will reveal to us as we walk step by step. But what we must do is what verse 46 says: the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. There's the stability. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. So when you feel weary, when you feel as though sickness has come against you or infirmity, you say, let the God of my salvation be exalted. When it seems the circumstances and troubles have come, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, and speak to the mountain. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. So if we were people that were rooted and grounded in what we see and felt, then the God of our salvation will not be exalted. We'd be exalting everything else, wouldn't we? But it's the God of our salvation that must be exalted. Go across to Psalm 20 and verse 5. Psalm 20, verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Praise the Lord. So we have to rejoice in God's salvation. Rejoice in it. What has he done? What is he doing? And all the benefits that he has loaded us with daily, we give him thanks for, and we praise him. You may not see things manifested straight away, but you thank him. You thank him that he's your healer, that he is your deliverer, that he is your strength, that he is your way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Glory to God. So we rejoice, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Why? Because we want to know, we want everyone else to know that Jesus is our God, the God of our salvation, that he has provided wonderful salvation, and we rejoice in that. And we set up our banners, and the Lord fulfills all our petitions. Glory to God. He has not forgotten us. He didn't forget Noah, even though a long time was spent by Noah in preparing the ark. A long time. He didn't forget Noah. He didn't forget him, and he doesn't forget us. But we have to walk by faith, and we have to exalt the God of our salvation, not other things. So let this be top of mind in you. Let this be in your heart as a burning fire, because we are told in Ephesians 6, 10 to 13, for example, don't turn to it, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and fight the real enemy, which is the devil and his minions. So we have to be people that are sober and vigilant, and don't get sidetracked. Don't allow the things of deception take you away from what the Lord is saying to you, what the Lord is bringing forth to you. Let the God of our salvation be exalted. So what are we saved from? All aspects of the curse. Yet many Christians act as though things will always stay the same. Physical conditions can't change, or the enemy has the victory. This is the opposite of what the God of our salvation has provided. Didn't Jesus say, speak to the mountain? Didn't he speak to the fig tree? We must be people that speak the word, that use the sword of salvation. We must be people of faith, not doubt. A people that lift up the banners that we just read about. Glory to God. You know, there is a due time. There is a due time for the enemies of God to slide and to go down. And there is a due time for, as I said before, the believers, the faith Christians, to rise up and to be set in places where the Lord can have his victory. There is a time for that in both cases. Let's have a look in Deuteronomy 32, verses 29 to 41. Deuteronomy 32. Now this one, an interesting section of scripture, which tells us about the due time of those coming against the people of God, what will happen to them. Deuteronomy 32, starting from verse 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Think about that, the latter end. What is the latter end of the enemies of God? What is the latter end of a society that comes against God, or those in prominence saying God doesn't exist, or he has done nothing, or it means nothing? And they speak blasphemously against his church and against his Christ. What is their latter end? Verse 39, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock. Okay? Everyone's trusting in something. But we have a rock, capital R. Can you see that? A rock, capital R. So for their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Obviously pointing to the sodomite, the homosexual type things. Isn't that what's growing at the moment in our society? Like a vine, like a field. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? God has not forgotten what's happening. And there is a sowing and there is a reaping. Verse 35. To me, God is speaking here, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. Okay? This is the prophetic word of the Lord. Their foot shall slide in due time. In other words, they cannot continue forever. They cannot continue forever. And their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them shall make haste, for the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and that there is none shut up or left. At the moment, it seems as though the churches how their power is gone, and particularly the power to influence in a society. When we are living in a society where nigh on 90% of people do not acknowledge Christ as Lord and Saviour, then it does seem... And think of it this way. Now, the last 200 years, there have been churches in our society working away. Now, sure, a lot of them have been sowing, but at the moment, it seems to be as though the power of the people of God is gone. However, there is a due season. There is a due time. There is a due time for the things of the enemy to slide. Okay, and we should be preparing for that time. I tell you now, we should be preparing for that time. And there is a due season for increase for the people of God. And I think we should be preparing for that time as well. Can everyone see what we're saying here? So, verse 36 says, "For the Lord shall judge his people." So there has to be a judgment amongst the people of God. Because at the moment there's many compromising with the world. There's many who are speaking silly things and blasphemous things against the word of God and against the doctrines of God. And it says, "And repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left." Verse 37, "And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted? Which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I whet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me." There is coming a time when those that are enemies of God will slide, will be stopped. And it is no coincidence that God talks about his glittering sword. His glittering sword, the sword of the Spirit. We know the Word of God. That is the greatest glittering sword he has. So we see that there is a vengeance coming upon the enemies of God. There is a due time, we just read. And we must be preparing for that. Okay? Preparing for that. Thinking about what is going to happen at that time, at that due time. Because it is coming. It is coming. And there is a time in the Lord for the church, because the church has to be spotless, without wrinkle. It can't be the way it is now, where there's so much faithlessness in it, so much doubt and unbelief, so much compromise. It can't be like that. It has to be cleaned up completely. There has to be judgment, as we read before, judgment amongst the people of God. So we must be ready for that. And we must be ready for a time of great increase as well. Look at Galatians 6, verses 6 to 10. Galatians 6, verses 6 to 10. God is going to increase his people. Because as I said, there's been a lot of sowing by churches over the last couple of centuries in Australia, for example, not to mention other nations. Many men and women of God have sown the word of God in this society. Well, that's going to come to pass with a great harvest. Glory to God. We must be ready and prepared. Okay, we might not have seen it. We might not be seeing it as yet. But we must be prepared for the great increase, the slide of God's enemies, the vengeance of God upon them, if they won't repent, and the increase of God's people in the earth today. And so it's something for us to look forward to and believe. So Galatians 6, starting from verse 6. "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." So communicate is a two-way process, okay? two-way, it's a giving and receiving. And communication is more than just words, there are actions associated with that, actions of giving and receiving. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So you can see there's a spiritual law that's been set in process in the earth today, in the whole of creation. The spiritual law of sowing and reaping. Now, as I said before, there's been a lot of good things sown, but, you know, the enemies of God have sown a lot of bad things, and that's why their due time is coming. Their due time of harvest is coming as well. But there's been a lot of good things that have been sown to the Spirit, okay? A lot of good things have been sown which will cause a good harvest, a good harvest of great things. So verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We should be sowing to the Spirit. And God goes into a bit more detail in the next few verses. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we see here that there is a great tendency and a great pull by the world to be weary in well-doing. Why would you be weary in well-doing? Well, remember, it's a sowing and reaping process. You could be doing well, you could be doing all types of things. I know this church and the people in this church have done all types of well-doing. The seeing of the reaping of that, a lot of it we haven't seen yet, but we will, because there is this wonderful promise that we have here. Let us not be weary. So don't be weary, okay? Don't be weary. Don't be weary. Just exalt the God of your salvation and say, I look to the Lord. He's our salvation. He's the one that's going to put us through. He's the one that is going to make me the head and not the tail. Can you see what I'm saying? Above only and not beneath. He's leading us into a wealthy place. He's taking us into a place of great victory. You may not see it as yet, just like Noah. He hadn't seen what God had told him as yet. But God is telling us there is a time, a due time, for the enemies of God to reap the vengeance of God. And there's a due season for us, as it says here, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. If we faint not. You know? People can give up just before the great harvest. What a tragedy that would be. Or give up and faint and say, and please come along and listen to what I have to say on Tuesday. Some of the things people have said against the people of God and the church of God has just been tragic. But there's thousands of them out there doing it. Okay? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, that's the season of harvest, we shall reap if we faint not. Now verse 10 tells us what we should be doing in that well-doing. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. So there'll be opportunities. Who gives you the opportunities to do good? It's going to be God, isn't it? He gives us, the brethren. He gives us, the people of God, the children of God, opportunities, opportunities to do well-doing, to do good things. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Why especially? Because that's good ground. That's good ground. That's good ground, okay? There'll be people And look, there's true Christians all over this city. There'll be people who will come into line with the Word of God, will come into line with believing correctly, will come into line with the household of faith. How important is that, the household of faith? So if you have opportunity to do good, take that opportunity, because it is sowing a seed. It is sowing to the Spirit. Take that opportunity to do good. There are many things that can be done to do good. Many things. And it's not just one thing. There's all types of things that you could do. But the general thing is that you're sowing. You're sowing good things, and there is a reaping that's going to come out of it. But you've got to do it according to faith. You don't do it, make me look good, or, I'll get the adulation. You should be doing things that other people don't even see you do. But it's a good thing. Okay? Why? Because the Lord's given you that opportunity. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's have a look at Hebrews 10, 35 to 39. We're probably going to have to go into a second part of this one. Let the God of our salvation be exalted. Hebrews 10, 35 to 39. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. So there is reward attached to having confidence in God. Okay, don't cast it away. It's very valuable to have confidence and trust in the Lord. So cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have, what? Done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So patience is not doing nothing. I'm sure Noah was very, very patient. But he wasn't doing nothing, was he? He was preparing the ark. He was moved with fear. It's the same with us. We're patient, and we should be patient, but we're not doing nothing. Okay, we're not doing nothing. We have to do something. What are we doing? We're doing the will of God. We're acting on opportunities that God gives us. We are communicating with him that or her that teacheth the word. Can you see what I'm saying? So there has to be a doing of the will of God. We're not doing nothing. We can't do nothing and then say, oh, I'm just patiently waiting for the Lord to do something. No, you must seek the Lord, as we saw before, and you must do the will of God and prepare for what is to come. Now, we are preparing for great increase, but also there's going to be many hurting people and many people through the aftermath of the reaping of all types of disaster, a disastrous seed. There'll be a disastrous crop that comes out of that. There'll be many hurting people, which we know that we can help if they are open to the Lord and repentant. Praise the Lord. So verse 36 says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Okay, now that's not just talking about the second coming there. That's talking about God coming in his power, in terms of manifesting his power and doing things. Okay? And there's a little while. There is a time of a difference between the sowing and the reaping. All right? We have to have confidence that law is working. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Why? Because it's impossible to please God without faith. We have to live by faith. Verse 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We're not of the nature of those that draw back. We don't draw back. We march on. We look forward. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We seek the Lord. We exalt the God of our salvation. Okay? We exalt the God of our salvation. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for the word you've given us, for the direction you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that your wonderful salvation has been provided through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's available not just to us, but to this society, for everyone around us. And Lord, we ask for opportunities to be manifested and given to us, opportunities to do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. Show us, Lord, make them very clear to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.